I'd like to talk a bit about science friction, one of those word games. Science fiction is one of the instruments, like fiction in general, by which we can resolve problems with the reality that we have. If the reality that we have doesn't really work well in our mind, then we can go into an imaginary reality, and of course the main religions are based on this approach, so that via that imaginary reality we can in any case get some relativistic thinking about the reality that we are in. It could be otherwise, but also that we might be able to find ways out of the situation that we're in. So fiction, as the fiction in literature, is of course overwhelming if you look in the libraries and the bookshops and elsewhere, as a kind of medium, not of literature, but a medium for thought. So that fiction is actually a tool by which we can change our understanding, and that is also why I want to connect that to science, because science of course is a tool to change our understanding. In science it is specifically the transition from the unknown to the known. In fiction it is the transition from what we dislike to hopefully what we do like. By the way, that's also why there's a lot of horror fiction storytelling, because as a doctor you need to see what the disease is to grasp it. You cannot hide, pretend that it's not there. You need to in a way understand it. In some way you need to be able to get in touch with that what you would rather not touch. In a way you need to come to grasp with the horrific, such as the ugly disease, or the accidents in traffic, or the revolutions and wars in society, and the horror fiction environment is one of these two techniques or tools by which we can look at things differently. So I use the term science fiction because of these many double meanings in there. On the science side, we need to translate from the unknown to the known. In the literature, that is the society side, we need to be able to translate from that what we do not like to what we could like. In the medical perspective, we need to be able to make a diagnosis in order to come up with a remedy or a therapy. And the principle involved is that which in physics is associated with the word friction. That's the reason that I came up with this term science friction. In electromagnetism there is this famous law of induced resistance, Lenz law. If you put something in motion, then it will be difficult to do so. And the reason is quite simple. Everything that exists has a kind of relationship to its environment. If you want to change the place or the position in that environment, you need to change those relationships too. And in physics, in a more clear way perhaps than in society, you can see that if you were to move from one country to another, then you need to change the relationship that you have with your environment. There's a relationship of your body in, let's say, the shelter where you live, the house, and the stuff that you have in the house, the things that you work with, the immediate necessities, the implements for your daily life. When you move from one country to the other, what do you do with that? Do you leave it behind? Or do you find a way to take it along? Likewise, the kind of activities that you have in the environment. For some people that would be the tilling of the soil, the farming of the field, the harvesting of the crop. How do you do that? Because you cannot take the land along where you live, so you cannot take the harvest along. So in a way you need to transplant or transport that as well. So essentially, you need to take the seed of the crop and being able to transport that. So with your pocket full of seeds, you can go to another place on the earth and see if the seeds can grow there. That also in a metaphoric sense, that when you move, you will have your network of people that you know, that you connect to. The ones where you go for healthcare, dental health. The ones where you can go to when you have problems. Formerly that would be the priests, now those days are the confidants. And all the other people that you would know who could help you or you could help them, that whole network too needs to be resolved and dissolved when you move from one place to the other. Evidently within you, you also need to reorder everything that you know. This is called the mourning process, MOURNING. The letting go process, because in your memory banks, when you go outside, you would expect the neighbor's land or the neighbor's house to be there. You have a whole series of expectations based on memories of the past. And it is in that manner that in our consciousness and in our awareness, we have pictures of the past to help us cope with the present and the future. We do not have to assimilate everything in the environment every time again and again. Once you know what a street is, you can recognize a street anywhere. Once you know what a house is, you know what the rules of the game are with respect to a house. Is it a private house? Is it a public house? Is it something where you have temporary access, like a museum? Is it something where you can only have an interchange as a shop? There are all kind of regulations, translated as expectations, in the environment that you live with in. And so when you move, you will find that your neighbor's house is a different house with a different neighbor. Maybe there's not a house, but there is a field. Maybe there is a lake. Maybe there is a mountain. In your mind, everything will have to be sorted out anew. And this is also what people experience, not only when they move from one area to the other, but also when somebody moves off planet, when they have died. And then in your memory, you have all these memory pictures of activities and places where you would expect to find the other. And the mourning process is the recomputation, let's call it the defragmentation of your memory banks, in which your mind needs to sort out that in the future, this individual will no longer be in those settings. And that's a lot of internal work, which is why after a death of a friend, the brain has to go into an internalized mode and give priorities to re-edit all of these memories, so that there will not be a confusion that you step into a place, expect somebody to be there and they're not. That principle of mourning is the counterpart of that principle of induced resistance in motion. They are complements of each other. Both are defined by the change of relationship in the environment. And in a very much more simplified manner, you can know this principle of induced resistance when you have a suitcase somewhere and you drag it from one place to the other. You experience the friction of the change of relationship of the environment with respect to the suitcase. So in that sense, in the word friction, we have a direct kind of model from physics which describes the change of relationships, which we can then extend from physics to chemistry, to electromagnetism, to informatics, and know that if a change is necessary at all of those four levels, adaptation will be required. Of course, once we know how that works in physics, because we can see it, we also will know that this must likewise operate within our body, where we feel it, and that the friction in physics will become the internal friction or the stress of the change of setting within us. And through the work on the science of life and the exploration, the discovering of the principle of freedom of choice, it is now easy to see that the internal stress has four levels also. One level is where, with the pineal gland in the head, we need to have an adaptation between the forebrain and the hindbrain. Both of them project an electromagnetic field, a light field, say a 3D cinema projection. And the pineal gland, or pineal gland in the middle, has the two impulses coming together and needs to make a discernment how to relate to the forebrain, which has the information of the surface of the body, which we then tend to call the outside world, or to the hindbrain, which has the internal image of the body, with the serpent in the Garden of Eden, this spinal cord, which is the reflex structure of all these processes that already operate within us. So between the things known within us, the reflexes and the past and the conditioning of the body in the way the body functions in the rear brain, and actually the unknown outside of us on the surface of the body in the forebrain, the pineal gland needs to reposition itself there. So that first level of friction, which is also the first level of fiction, is where an adaptation is needed from the inside to the outside and vice versa. So once that comes to a kind of conclusion, we call that the decision, then this decision operates in the hypophysis, the neurohypophysis, the adenohypophysis, which is the structure of the brain where we actually define our relationship within and with slash in our environment. On the neuronal side, we are relating to the changes of the environment, but also the changes in the environment. That's normally called the fight-flight level. It's the animal level of moving in a territory. But on the hormonal side of the hypophysis, it will be the vegetative response of fear and faint, the internal adaptation. And in both cases, the animal level and the vegetative level, it is the combination, or it's rather the choice between adopt and adapt. There will be a change in the environment. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to do something with it? Are you going to adopt it? And once that level has been decided, very literally, then the next step in the execution operation of freedom of choice is that the organ glands are given specific settings. They are like the notes, musical notes in a melody, or they are like the buttons of a thermostat, and they are traditionally known as the chakras, which is another word for a vortex, turning wheel, a setting point, set point. And those are the glands of the organs by which the organ function can be set and reset. For example, the renal system, the kidneys, have the adrenal, the belonging to the renal glands. And in this way, there are the different levels of regulation of the internal body climate by this setting and resetting of these glands which then operate, organize, control the body organs. These actually reset our participation in our environment. They shift the boundary of how we function. They change the event horizon of what we accept as part of us or not. And that is why this was called the gods of the Olympus, and also described as the zodiac of the planets, because they are the regulators for the internal rhythms and climates, the internal seasons, so to say, of our body, in which we then condition the internal climate which we experience as our beliefs, our convictions. Once we used freedom of choice to make a decision, then out of that decision becomes a specific kind of mindset, a kind of defined or definite, determined and thus limited interpretation of reality, our conviction, our belief. And that belief is then the image and the internal process that we operate by. It is carried in our body. It is, so to say, the internal climate that we live, warm or cold, hot or dry. That means it's faster or slower, it's connected or disconnected. And that then is the environment within which the cells in our body can act. So they can multiply and divide, yes or no. They can grow larger or not. They can be quicker in what they do or not. And in that sense, the climate in our body quite literally does the same as the seasons do on the planet, with the growth of the plants and the fertility of the animals and so on. So there we have those four levels of the translation of friction and fiction. The friction side of the story is where our feet touch the earth. Are you positioned in the right place, or are you dragging your feet? Are you light-footed, and are you actually experiencing life as a dance? Can you reduce the friction into something of harmony? And it's the transition from dragging your feet to walking, to marching, to dancing. So there are different levels of involvement at the friction level. But likewise in our head, where things are always imaginary because they're not physical, they're pure ideas, that is also where we then play with the imagined change of the environment, the counterpart of dragging the feet or dancing the earth. We have memories of where we walked the earth, and we have those memories in our head as pure information, nothing physical about it. It's totally metaphysical, it's absolutely imaginary. And those imaginary information fields are the ones that we work with when we remember what the season was 6 months ago, and so many years ago. And out of that, we can know that there is a rhythm of summers and winters, that while we're in the middle of the winter, we can sort of know from memory that we could well anticipate a summer, probably, perhaps. We can imagine that, we can foresee that. And so from our memory, from the rhythms in the memory, from the patterns in the memory, from the territories that we recognize in our memory, we then have a whole database of pure fiction. And that is the database that all the literature, all the pulp fiction, all the comic books, all the television series, and even the distortions of education and news media and church beliefs operate, that through the interplay with fiction, you can come to new ideas and new ideals. That's also why fiction is so important. When an army invades a country, the first thing that they want to do is grasp the microphone of the radio broadcast system, because then they can tell people what to do. Actually, they try to convince people of what to believe, and essentially saying, everything is okay, we're taking care of you now. every book of fiction, every book of literature, every book of science is always in an interplay with those beliefs of fiction and with the realization in friction. So that's why I chose that double-edged word of fiction and friction, because we need to have the things in the head, the world of the ideals and the ideas, connected to the world of actions and being. And as this metaphor already indicates, the world in our head and the world of our feet are opposites of each other. But they're not separate from each other. They're connected in and by the body. And that relationship in and by the body is very explicitly seen in that relationship between freedom of choice in the light field in our head, in the decision taking, which you could actually say is at the heart level, at the animal level of setting a territory, then the conviction that we live, which is actually like the plant in a garden, which is where we find the roots of the guts in our body, and then our standpoint of our actually point of contact with the earth, our standpoint on the ground, which is our feet, which in the body would be the sacrum or the holy bone. So that transition between freedom of choice, decision, convictions, and reflex action, behavior, is the translation between fiction and friction. And also, it helps to understand how to resolve friction. Dragging your feet is not a solution if you can actually take a step forward, backwards, to the side, or in any case, out of the situation. Perhaps not immediately, but whatever oppressed situation there was for whichever culture on the planet, a couple of centuries later, that is no longer the case. The people who were participating in that are no longer there. The people who were inflicting that are no longer there. And the game rules of what that country was playing together with each other and with others has stopped. Like a child playing with a toy, it's bored and it starts to do something else. The only question is, will nations and the people within them learn from those circumstances or not? That's the role of history, which is, say, the fiction of the friction. History describes how we drag our feet on the earth, or how we walk or march or dance on the planet, so that we can learn from that and have memories which we can then edit, optimize, perfect, so that we can resolve the situations which don't work. One of the ways societies have been able to resolve situations which don't work is by the combination of science and fiction, which we can call science fiction, which I now sort of mobilize or activate as a tool, as an instrument with intent, by calling it science friction fiction. That the science fiction is actually a tool to resolve the social friction. Science, of course, is an instrument for angst reduction, the reduction of anxiety of the unknown. In that sense, science has a very important role, and a different role than politics or religion or literature fiction, even though they all address the same issues. There are situations which we find difficult to live with. There are situations or circumstances which we find hard to understand. So we need to, in a specific way, focus on it. We need to sort of pull it out of the environment. We need to sort of take it into our consciousness. We need to develop a kind of awareness of it, so that we can look at those situations and circumstances which do not work well for us, and resolve them. Fiction, as fiction and literature, does that by describing a situation and giving a kind of solution. And it doesn't much matter if it is a realistic or non-realistic solution. It is just enough that people are able to recognize that situation which is described, can feel into it, can understand that it is worthy of consideration because there is a quest for an understanding. But it doesn't much matter if the result of the story is horrific or hopeful. If it has a good ending or a bad ending, because it is still only imaginary. And even though some of the works of fiction have become kind of standard literature because they are a metaphor for specific kind of situations which cannot be resolved or are not resolved, most often it lies in that area, because a book which has worked out, for example, the fiction of Jules Verne, much of it has been turned into technology. And when people read the books of Jules Verne now, it is outdated. It is in a way no longer relevant because reality has caught up with it, overtaken it, and become the undertaker of that book. It is still interesting, but the situation which existed at that time has been resolved as a result of the book, as a result of the exploration that was initiated in that book. So fiction has this very precise role in society of getting the ball rolling again, or in any case putting it in another ballpark, people would say, but it is still inconsequential. It is not used as a rule book, it is not used as a handbook, even though in school books they might be referred to, but they are not referred to as a metaphor or as a myth for how we can change our relationship with reality. In order to do that, those books are turned into either religion or politics. As a religion, the story is then idealized as, well, this is actually how it could be, this is how it should be, this is how it has to be, and by God, this is how it now needs to be. And otherwise we'll burn you at the stake, or whatever kind of political exertion comes into the story at that level. But still, the stories of religion are essentially the distilled version of the books of society, taking out the ones that might be helpful or in any case hopeful for being able to resolve circumstances that we don't know how to resolve very well. As people might know from the development of church religion, a lot of the hopeful mythical metaphor of religion, church religion, has become obsolete because science in a way started to address the friction via fiction in a different manner, leading to technologies, techniques, instruments, behaviors, as a result of which people now have a different relationship to that kind of reality. Also, the main change has been the one which it was implied by church but not operated wisely, that we need to resolve these larger problems in larger groups. And we need to deal with the more fundamental problems by making them a fundamental part of our considerations. If a problem can arise more often, then we need to have a relationship to it. We need to learn to wash our hands before we eat so that we can eliminate most of the diseases. We need to build houses in such a way that they are earthquake-proof instead of having to rebuild the cities again and again after every earthquake. So a lot of the intent or purpose of religion has been turned around into a practical recipe for society. Let me come to the other part of the resolution of friction by fiction, which is politics. Politics is a fiction of ongoing friction. In politics, the problems are addressed and resolved, but they're not adequately resolved and thus not adequately addressed. This is mainly because the recipe for politics is not correct. Politics operates by the same kind of misconception as the churches did, that the Pope could speak on behalf of God and everybody needed to listen and do accordingly. And the politicians, they pretend that they can speak on behalf of everybody who has elected them, and that once they are elected, they represent everybody without needing to consult anybody. This is not how it works, because when we have large-scale problems, we need large-scale solutions. And that's where everybody needs to be involved, because the problems and the scope of the problems are larger than anybody can grasp, anybody can hold in their memories, anybody can operate in their mind. And certainly nobody has all of the points of perspective on the problem. And that's why we need to go to a different kind of politics, where everybody is self-representative in the system and everybody contributes the solutions that they can see. And then together everybody can distill that, digest that, convert that in a way that we do in our body, where the ideas in our head become decisions in our body, then become convictions in our belly, which then determines the steps that we take on the planet. Same with politics. There is the realm of ideas and ideals which nobody should be able to touch, and where everybody should be able to freely express what they find without anybody being able to censor that. Then there is the level of decisions, which is not that people decide for each other, but people decide for themselves if out of the many proposed ideas, some of them would work well for them, that they can try them out and then give the feedback if it works, yes or no. So that then together in groups they can realize that in these kind of settings this could really work, let's try that, let's make an agreement that we try this one, and if it doesn't, let's try another one. The flexibility and dynamics of politics. Which then of course will result into a kind of political education, which is at the same time a kind of shared religion of we are humans in humanity. We are individually unique, but therein we are all the same. And as a result, we can help each other and we can learn from our mistakes, also those of others. So let's do that learning and let's get beyond. And that learning and getting beyond is the whole purpose of, say, literature, but also scientific literature, that the findings of situations can be written down together with the experience that you can have out of that, positive, negative, together with the conditions that play at that time and how we can interact with them, how can we can recondition our own conditioning, and as a result deal with the situation in a different manner. There were times that people thought that the flooding of the Nile was a normal natural thing, and you needed to look at the stars to know when the floods would be coming. And then somebody put a dam in the river and all of that is no longer valid. It doesn't necessarily mean that the land was better for it. Actually, the regular seasonal fertilizing of the land suddenly disappeared. And the only thing which came back in return for that was electricity, which not everybody was using. And so there is a need to always understand that whatever fiction we have for whatever friction we experience, it is always situational. And we must always look at the situations in the broadest sense. That's also where I said that science is a tool for the angst reduction of society, but that means that society has a more limited perspective than society. So in that sense, there is a need to make society as a whole more scientific, in that sense that everybody in society becomes a scientist, becomes a researcher, becomes a problem solver, becomes a diagnostician for problems. In a way, in a bit of an indirect way, that is what literature does. Everybody who can read has access to the literature, can read the books, they can read the books to each other, and as a result there is this cultural consensus of ideas, there is an exchange of ideas and ideals by which people can come to different and new insights. And that all comes together in these few words of science friction, science fiction. It is the understanding that we always will have friction in the life that we live, for the simple reason that matter will move as a result of different driving forces in the quantum electromagnetic information field, that when science starts to move, when matter starts to move, then an induced resistance will come into play because the relationship will need to change. Once the relationships have changed, there is a different dynamic and different process taking place. And Tatrionis can nicely describe that. It used to be described by the Newtonian laws of physics, of the inertia, the impedance or the impedance, the resistance against starting to move, but then also the difficulty to stop moving something, because there is a difference in the relationship. Once the relationship is no longer in the environment and the relationship is to the, let's say, universal, once the forces are not connecting it in situ, in the place where it is, but once the forces are actually driving it from a larger perspective, then the law of induced resistance applies again when you have to go from the motorway into the city traffic. This is where in the body we see we have these gears, the four neurotransmitters of, say, the serotonin. When we are thinking on the highway, we just ignore everything that's going on by the side of us. Then we have the GABA, which is the necessity to have a good administration on where we take the turns of the road and go to on-ramp or the off-ramp of the motor road to reconnect to the regional street system. Once we are there, we need acetylcholine to navigate the roads and the bends and the turns and the twists, acceleration, deceleration with the traffic lights. The sports molecule of adapting into the environment. And then finally, we will need to park the car somewhere to go to our destination or bring the car to the garage or whatever is needed, from moving to stopping or from stopping to moving, which is where the dopamine is then the molecule which regulates that. So we can see that there are four gears between fiction and friction, and we need to learn to use those. And we need to learn to understand that these molecules work in our brain, they work in our body, they determine the way we interact, interrelate to each other, and they also define how together we relate to the planet. So the terminology of science friction is that we can describe these principles which individually and collectively we experience in our mind and in our body. But we can analyze them and understand them by the methods of science. But it's not enough to have it as a scientific model or a scientific concept, for the simple reason that science at the moment is too much busy with description and not enough connected to experience. So that is where we then need to reconnect science to society, or rather to show that the Society of Scientists is a very small subgroup of the Society of Humans and Humanity, and that we can translate the findings of scientists, which are, let's say, mental constructs, and again, that's the picture that we have in our head, but we need to connect it to the decisions that we take in our heart. How does it connect to our environment? How will it affect it? We need to connect that to the convictions that we carry in our gut. How are we part of the whole? And how do we shit the system, piss on it, or actually nourish it and feed it? And also, how are we actually part of it? Our body being the same matter of the earth, even though we carry it separately for a short time. So that's where we can then reconnect science to society, while at the same time we have reconnected fiction and friction. So in this simple wording of science friction, there is actually a recipe for a remedy to resolve the problems that we have individually and collectively by learning how problem solving takes place, which is in the physics it would be the friction, in chemistry it would be the charge discharge, in electromagnetism it would be the conversion between electricity and magnetism, and in the information field it would be the lack or loss of information and the gaining and finding of information. So it is a very fundamental principle, and once we understand that, we can recognize it in the very, very many forms that it already has in society. The patent office is an example of that. Every farmer planting something is an example of that. The new birth in society is an example of that. There's loads of new ideas which are examples of that. The most important part, perhaps, in this title, Science Friction, lies in the way that what you are, the letter R, determines the difference between fiction and friction. If you take yourself out of the equation, you have fiction. If you R, put the R back in the equation, you have friction. So your being connected and disconnected, that's why it's in brackets, is actually the kind of game that you need to learn to know when you need to step outside of it. So when you sleep, you're disconnected from the reality. And when you wake up and do something with the earth and make it a better place to live in for yourself and for everybody else, for all other living beings. So that is the word game of science friction and the recipe for the remedy that, yes, we can heal the ills of humanity and the ills of the planet, because we can diagnose it, we can discover what's really going on, and then create the kind of relationship which actually is realistic and which is effective. We will have to change a bit later on, because the situation has changed. That's what science fiction friction is all about, the enhancement of society of humanity.